The Navy had originally hoped to transition its 1 million user Navy Marine Corps intranet to the new NGEN contract by this month, but taking back control over what had been the largest outsourced government IT program in history turned out to be a more complicated task than the service hoped. The initial request for proposals was delayed by several months, as was the final award of the NGEN contract. Then, late last year, all work had to stop for several more months while a bid protest was resolved. Now, the Navy and its prime contractor, HP, are racing to move NMCI to NGEN's government-owned, contractor-supported model by the end of this fiscal year. That will mean shaving about 3 months off of the original transition schedule, but Captain Michael Abreu, the NGEN program manager, says he thinks that's doable.
I see it as two key enablers to make that happen. One, the incumbent won the competition. We built the RFP and our proposal based on a non-incumbent winning, right? That's the way we do business, right? Because of that, immediately when we were able to talk to HP after the protest was lifted, we immediately started asking, what can we do, because you're the incumbent, to accelerate that transition internally? So that's one large piece, and HP did, in fact, go off and do that for us, which is fantastic. The other is an awful lot of hard work and solid planning since we started in November. For a transition of this size and scope, we've had to work constantly, every day as a team, to plan how we're going to actually execute this transition, put the new governance structure in place in order for us to reduce the risk of moving forward and executing the transition itself on an earlier timeline.
The Marine Corps finished its transition from the contractor-owned and operated model last summer. It now owns and operates the entire network itself. The Navy's follow-on to the original NMCI network will be different. The Navy is buying back the network infrastructure and intellectual property from HP via an ongoing payment plan, but HP will still handle most of the touch labor and run the network day to day. Still, Abreu says the Navy now estimates the new arrangement will save the service about $1 billion over the next 5 years, so it's anxious to avoid any further delays.
It's generally the price reduction that we got based on a competition. So we leveraged market forces to reduce the price of what we're buying from HP. And HP took, and all of the competitors took a hard look at what it would take to run this network at a competitive price and provide these services to us, and that's essentially what we got out of that competition. The price differential between the old contract and the new contract is about $20 million a month. So I am incentivized for you, the taxpayer, to get on that newer contract as soon as I can, right, to save the taxpayer dollars. I want to do that efficiently. I want to do that without introducing risk to the customer.
The Navy doesn't want its users to get the idea that their IT experience will change, for better or worse, once the NGEN transition is finished, at least not right away. NMCI, they say, will still be NMCI, just under a different management structure that will hopefully be transparent to users. But that doesn't mean the transition is simple behind the scenes. Abreu says the Navy is having to take several steps to prepare, two of which it completed this week, passing both its critical design review and government readiness review.
So we had two reviews, one an internal government readiness. Because we've increased our command and control responsibility with our Fleet Cyber Command partners, as well as the contractor readiness to start the actual transition. The transition essentially happens in two major phases. The first is planning, which we've been doing since November, and the second is actual execution, which we're about to start in May. So this milestone was designed to ensure that we were ready to begin that transition process. We identified no major issues. We took a few actions that we have to close out of that meeting, but we are ready and poised to start on May 1st to start the actual transition work.
Officials say the transition also includes a huge amount of professional development for the Navy's own IT staff as they prepare to take greater control of the network, including many functions they didn't have to worry about while the entire operation was left to an outside vendor. Bill Todi, HP's vice president for its Navy and Marine Corps business, says that's not just a matter of having people who have good fundamental IT skills. It's a matter of understanding how to run a network at the scale of NMCI, the biggest internal IT network on the planet.
But when you do scale something up to this size, things don't work out of the box. So we have to teach Microsoft about how their Exchange system works when you have nearly 1 million users. We have to teach Cisco about how their routers and switches work when you have tens of thousands of devices connected in the way we do. And in particular, when you layer on all of the government security, the DoD-specific security requirements, it becomes even more complex. So if you were to then outsource that entire network to a company, and then you integrate it into something that becomes the biggest of the world in the world, and then you decide you want to take it over again, which is the right decision, by the way, it isn't merely a matter of bringing people into your government engineering space that have engineered things before, because nobody has done this before, right? So then you need to develop skills in the government side that you didn't have when you began outsourcing the network. And that requires time.
Also, Todi says, simply transitioning the ownership of the network's IT assets from private hands to government ownership changes a lot of the fundamental rules that have governed how NMCI has been run for the past dozen years.
It requires things like asset management to be done in accordance with law or DoD standard. A contractor doesn't necessarily have to do that. I can turn a task order around, purchase order around for a subcontract in a matter of days. And federal acquisition regulations make it much harder for the government to do those things. So to some extent, you lose some agility, and processes have to change when you transition to the government. And if you don't accommodate that and account for that in the timelines that you've created, and if you try to operate it the same way the company did when you are constrained by rules that the company was not constrained by, it doesn't work, and so it requires translation into a new coordinate set.
The Navy has long been proud of the fact that it was the first military service to create a fully integrated enterprise network. But the Pentagon now has an intense interest in setting up enterprise IT architectures that will serve the entire Defense Department. One tenet of the Joint Information Environment is that all the military services are supposed to share certain enterprise services, like data centers, email systems, and transport services, all of which the Navy has just spent billions of dollars to buy on its own. But Abreu insisted he doesn't think there's a tension between JIE and NGEN, and he thinks the Navy is ahead of the other services in implementing enterprise IT. But he says moving the enterprise services the Navy now provides on its own up to the DoD level would not be a trivial matter.
Think of it this way, right? Think of the network as a ship. To modify the ship, any type of ship, takes a lot of engineering rigor, right, to make sure that you're touching the right thing in the right place and that it's interoperable and that you don't disrupt the overall workings of that whatever piece you touch on that ship, right, or the bigger operating model of the ship. We have to do the same thing. For whatever we do on the network, whether that's competing email or switching email services or doing anything else to the infrastructure, let's say hardware, we have to be very careful with how we do that, why we do that, to make sure that the business case makes sense and that we do that with engineering discipline such that we don't do something that introduces risk to the network and the user experience itself.
In the early stages of JIE, DoD Chief Information Officer Terry Takei has already told each military service to come up with a plan to move their email services to the Defense Information Systems Agency's centralized system. The Navy says it's working on a business case analysis to determine whether that makes sense. But HP's Todi says the answer to that question is fairly clear, given what the Navy has already invested.
The Navy just went through years of procuring the network. They own it now. And then to say, okay, now you can't use what you just bought, there's a cost associated with that. It's like somebody who just bought a car and the car is paid off and somebody tells you, you can't drive the car you just bought. You now have to drive this leased car, and you have to lease a car from us. Can you do that? Absolutely, you can do that. But what's the point of buying the car if I'm now going to be forced to lease it? The Navy owns the infrastructure that they're using on NMCI. And from the cost standpoint, I can tell you, as their IT prime contractor, it's going to be much cheaper to use the infrastructure that they own than to use infrastructure that they need to procure in other ways.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.